onto the website and backed up as quick, soon as I can. And I've got to get on there and check out some things anyway, add some things. I've got an article to get done. I got a lot on my plate, so I do ask for your prayers. Justification now. We believe that justification is the judicial act of God whereby He declares us to be righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. That justification included the pardon of sin, that it was that it bestowed not in consideration of any words of righteousness which we have done, but solely through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood, that His righteousness is imputed to us. Do you understand? Justification means that it's just because of the blood, it's just as if we never sinned. That's what justification means. That one song, y'all was singing that, practicing that one, Justified, Never Sinned, just the Davis family was singing. Wasn't y'all practicing that at one time? Y'all need to do that one. It's just as if I never sinned. Listen, we are just in the right of God, in the sight of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, according to Him. It's imputed to us. We have no righteousnesses of our own, because Isaiah 64:6 says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I went to 32. Isaiah 53, verse 11. I went to 32. Isaiah 53 verse 11 says, He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. So Christ, by justifying, means that He took our sin debt. He paid our full sin debt on Calvary's cross. As I said earlier at the nursing home, if Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary's cross was not enough to pay our sin debt, there is nothing that can pay our sin debt. You see, that these people that say that, well, it takes faith in Jesus plus this and this and this. If the blood of Jesus, if the death of Jesus on Calvary's cross was not enough to justify us in the sight of God, there's nothing that can. Because the Bible says, Isaiah 64:6, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible says, not of works of the law shall any flesh be justified in the sight of God. And the Bible says, not of works of the flesh. That's what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 2. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So God tells us in three different places that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. He tells us that our works according to the law cannot justify us in the sight of God. So even if we could keep the law, it still would not be enough to justify us in the sight of God. And that our good works, we know it's talking about good works of the flesh, because he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because even if you could keep the law and could work the law and do the law, you still wouldn't have nothing to boast of, because all you did was keep the law. So he's talking about in Ephesians 2, he's talking about works of the flesh, not of works, lest any man should boast. So none of those three ways can we be justified in the sight of God. So if the blood of Jesus, his death on Calvary's cross, is not enough to justify us before God, there's nothing that can justify us before God. Do you understand that? That's what justification means. That's that it's just as if we'd never sinned. Go with us to Acts chapter 13 real quick, because I want to get through these two, at least two of them tonight. Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So it's as if we never, that's what justification means. Justification does not give you a license to sin. But it means that if we do sin, that we're still justified in the sight of God. Christ didn't just die for your sins before you got saved and then after you're on your own. Christ died for all of our sins
before you got saved and after you get saved. That's not a license to sin. But it does mean that if you do sin, because you will sin, unfortunately, after you get saved, that the Bible says there remaineth no more sacrifice. There's nothing else you have to do. We just have to confess our sins. And John tells us that we're to confess our sins, and he's faithful just to forgive us our sins. That's how we deal with sin after you get saved. But you are justified means that there's nothing else. It's as if you received a pardon free and clear. There's nothing on your record. All God sees, all the Father sees when he sees us, is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he sees. He sees the righteousness of Christ. It's bestowed upon us. Romans chapter 5. That's what he's saying here. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 1 to begin with. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, not works, not religion, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath of God, the Bible tells us, the wrath of God abides on those that are not saved. Those that are wicked, those that are unrighteous, the wrath of God abides on you. Those that are lost, the wrath of God abides on them. But we are justified by faith in the sight of God by Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. That wrath of God is no longer on us. With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I don't know how anybody, honestly, brother, I don't understand how people can deny the blood of Christ. It's all through the Bible. If you miss the blood, you're missing that atonement. If you deny the blood, you're missing that atonement. Without the blood, there is no remission. Without the blood applied, it's just symbolic. How can it be just symbolic when he says here in verse, much more than being now justified by his blood? If his blood was symbolic and just spilled out and that's it, then how can we be justified? It takes the blood of Christ. How can somebody sit back and sing, there's power in the blood, power in the blood? How can you say, wash, sing the song, wash, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? How can you sing those songs and yet deny the blood of Jesus Christ? But some do. Some people do. We are justified by that blood. We are covered. We are washed. Our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. I don't know how you take something red and how you take something nasty and filthy, dirty and black and wash it in something red and it comes out white. But I just believe it by faith, according to that Bible. I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It's as if I never sinned. And one day, one day, I'm going to have a nice white robe. That's the righteousness of Christ. Isaiah 1:18, come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Yeah. We are washed in the blood of Jesus, and we can be made as white as snow. Brother, we was at a meeting years ago. Brother Shepherd was there. This is before we moved out here. It was at the church Brother Shepherd founded there in North Carolina and started. His son pastored Vision Baptist Church. And we was there at the meeting. Brother Shepherd come to me after he was out. I think we see him out here when it happened. He said, brother, you sure did miss it. You sure did miss it. After y'all left that meeting, he said, man, it just got on. He said, man, God moved in there, and brother was preaching. And I don't remember if he said it to Brother Sammy Allen or who it was now, but one of them had snowed while they were in there. Snowed while they was in there. And one of the preachers up, and I don't know if he preached about it or what, but he said one of the other men went out there, grabbed two big old handfuls of snow, and came in and said, it's white as snow. As white as snow. We're going to, listen, we're clean as white as snow is.
And it's something pretty when you see that. I got to hurry. All right. Now go to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse number 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. I like this one too. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. We're not condemned. That's what justified means. There's no condemnation on us that are saved if you're washed in the blood of Jesus. You are free from that condemnation. Verse number 2. No, is that verse number 2? No. Oh, that's 2 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now. Going over, 1 Corinthians is after Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 18. Hey, we was just here. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through verse 21 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Excuse me. "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." That's what we have. Our responsibility now that we are reconciled to God is to help reconcile others to God. To pray, to minister, to witness to people and try to reconcile others to God. Verse number 20. "Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." John, are you getting the picture of what justification means? Go to Titus 3:7. Last one on this one. Titus 3:7, after 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus chapter number 3. I like that they put all the T's there, right there close together. Made it a lot easier. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 7. Titus 3:7, "That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So not only now did he justify us, he's by his grace, through faith in Jesus, by his blood, all those things, we're also made heirs according to the hope of eternal promise. That's what it means. It's just as if you'd never sinned. That's what justification means. In the sight of God. You can get it all under the blood. If somebody's lost. If somebody's saved. Now if you're saved and sin gets in your life after you get saved, we just confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if somebody gets away from God, somebody has been saved for many years, but they've been away from God for many years, they can still get their life straightened back out. That's why we preach. That's what we preach about with sanctification. I think that's coming up later on. Maybe not. Let's see. Oh, no. Sanctification is next. I missed the word. That's what I'm getting ready to do. Sanctification. All right. Next. Now, that's of justification. Everybody understand now and understand what justification is. It's as if you'd never sinned in the sight of God if you believe Jesus Christ. You can be made clean. If you are saved, you are made clean. Next here, of sanctification. We believe that sanctification, if I had to say, this is probably definitely the top five, if not the number one in my mind, problem that most Christians have, sanctification. Sanctification is what a lot of Christians, I'm talking about not people that claim to be saved, but I'm talking about real Christians. Sanctification, we believe that sanctification is the divine setting apart of the believer unto God, accomplished in a threefold manner. Sanctification doesn't mean you're saved anymore, but sanctification is what you show people. Do you need that shut? Are you all right? Do you need that shut?
No.
Okay. I see it on sanctification. Sanctification is that God sets you apart. It's holiness. It's righteousness. It's teaching you that. At first, an act of God based upon redemption in Christ. That initial salvation. God cleans you. The cleanest. I got good news and sad news for you this evening. The good news and sad news rolled into one. The cleanest that you'll ever be in this entire life is the moment that you get saved. It's good news and sad news are rolled all into one. Because it's the cleanest, that is the cleanest that you'll ever be in your life. It's good because that's a point in your life when you'll be clean. It's sad because it's the only time in this life that you'll be clean. Because sin's going to unfortunately come back in. Sanctification is, okay, God initially sets you that first time. It's set apart. Our sanctification of what God works on here now, He says, now, that's what it is. Second, now, is a continuing process in the saints as the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to the life. Now, this is, everybody grows and matures at different rates. Because you've been saved for 10 years, and Brother Joe over here, Brother Bill over here has been saved for 10 years, do not expect that you're on the same level. Just as if I take Allie over here, who's 12 years old, and you go find every other 12-year-old, are they all maturing at the same time and at the same level? No. And Maggie over here, the giant, you go find, she towers over, and at 9 years old, she towers over 11 and 12-year-olds sometimes. That's what sanctification, that initial sanctification when God saves you. The next one is that it revolves around. It kind of revolves around you. It doesn't affect your salvation, but it applies to you as far as how faithful are you to the church? How much do you read your Bible? How much do you let God's Word sink into your heart? How often do you visit the altar? Those kinds of things, that affects your sanctification. You're to progress in sanctification. You shouldn't be at this. If you're at the same level you were and you've been saved for 15 years, I got a question about that. Now, it could be that you got out of church and you weren't living right. It could be. But if somebody's been saved, tell me they've been saved for 20 years and they're at the same maturity level they were 20 years ago, they know nothing. I got a problem with that. I can show you in the book of Hebrews where the writer of Hebrews has to deal with that. He said, when it was time for you to be giving other people meat, you still taking the milk of the Word. You couldn't even handle the hard stuff. Because you couldn't even take the soft stuff, the meat, the milk. Based upon redemption, now the second establishing, let's say, first an act of God based upon redemption in Christ, establishing the believer in a position of holiness at the moment he trusts the Savior. Second, the continuing process in the saint as the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to the life. Third, the final accomplishment of this process is at the Lord's return. One day, brothers and sisters in Christ, we get in a glorified body. My big toe is hurting right now. I don't know what. The shoe's hurting right behind my big toe there for some reason. I ain't going to feel that no more. I wonder if we get to walk around barefooted. Y'all just, that's what it is. All y'all Southern girls just preparing for heaven. And y'all just were already running around with no shoes on. Because as far as we know, John didn't say nothing about Jesus wearing shoes, did he? When he came back, just his feet. Is that why y'all Southern girls always run around barefooted? Y'all prepared? That's the third. Do you understand the difference? The moment you get saved, there's a sanctification there. God saves you. You're clean. That's the cleanest you'll ever be in your life. Sin comes back into your life. Plague's going to come. But we are to progress in sanctification in that we are to work on our life. At the moment some of us get saved, I did not allow. God wanted to. But when I got saved, not within a first probably week or 2 weeks probably of being saved, God dealt with me about tobacco. And I refused to let God take that out of my life. It was an addiction, and I believe if I let God take it out of my life, I wouldn't have had any trouble with it, struggle with it, any of that kind of thing. And then there was a way down the road, a little ways down the road, probably about a year or two after I got saved, God dealt with me again about quitting tobacco. And at that point, I knew that the call of God was on my life. And I still refused. Now, there are some people that the moment they get saved, they'll quit. They know. Some people know what doing drugs. But, you know, whatever it is. There's things like that, drinking. People just know. And sometimes, and there's some people that they don't even have to be preached on. I told you that I've known men that had long hair that nobody even preached about it. They just knew that after they got saved that they need to go get a haircut. There's people that get saved, they may have even heard preachers talk about drinking. But after they got saved, they realized, hey, this ain't right. This ain't godly. Same thing. That's what progressed to sanctification. Something that God may have dealt with you about, this person may not have. And God cleaned them up. That's what it means of sanctification, to progress in your sanctification. Let's go through these real quick. John 17:17. Amen. John 17:17. Here's one way that we are to sanctify. I put these in order just through the Bible so it's easier to go through. John 17:17. Here's a way that you can sanctify yourself. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, this has two things. It means for salvation, but it also means for those that are saved to sanctify themselves and to progress. Again, you should want to. The Word of God should work in your life. How do you find out? I've told you before, I can make mistakes. Matter of fact, I meant to do this morning and apologize, and I am sorry. My wife told me afterwards, she said, I didn't know whether to say anything or not. It was not Galatians Tuesday night. When I kept saying Galatians Tuesday night about in Luke chapter 13, 1 through 3, when I read that Tuesday night of the Galatians, my wife said, you know you kept saying Galatians, not Galileans. The word was Galileans. I told you I can make mistakes. I can read words wrong. I feel like Joe Biden in the Young version, okay? So if I make a mistake, I'm sorry. My wife said, you know, I know that you know what the word is, but by the way, you kept saying Galatians. Galatians gets... Sometimes it happens with us preachers. If I'm wrong, look at the Word of God. That's why I always put the Word of God even above what I preach. Even when I preach the Word of God. My wife does it. Brother Shepherd does it. A lot of men do it. They'll see God in there and they'll say Lord. They'll see Lord in there and you'll say God. You'll see Jesus in there and you'll say Christ. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I apologize. If you want me to publicly apologize for that one, I'm doing it right now. I can make mistakes. That's why I say the Word of God. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God is what the truth is. So if preachers make mistakes, if a preacher's up here and he says something by mistake, now some of them I've heard, I've wondered about. We were told one time a couple was at a place and there was a preacher's meeting and a guy, listen, if a guy's like this and I know God calls all kinds because God says there, you know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or 2 that not many mighty men, not many wise men after the flesh. And I believe that if you met preachers, you know we're not wise and we're not that mighty, though I could beat some in arm wrestling. This man, God, we were told of a man, this was years ago, got up and kept preaching out of the book of Job. I'm not good with names. Y'all know I'm not. But they said that it was totally distracting because the guy kept getting up. And I'm not saying the man wasn't called. I'm not saying the man wasn't anointed of God. I do not want to speak against anybody that could be God's anointed. But I got up and said, Galatians, and I apologize, out of Galileans, and I can see that. But the book of Job... And I know that Job and Job are spelt the same thing, but if you know your Bible, you know that's the book of Job, not the book of Job, okay? But that's why I said, if I make a mistake, I'm sorry. I can own up to it. If you think it's something that I need to publicly apologize because I say, I'll man up and do it. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I make mistakes. Again, my wife said it, and she was like, I wanted to say something because I knew you would have corrected yourself. You know, you don't have to say it during church. If I'm wrong, again, that's what he says. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what it's to be. Go now. But I just want to let you know that I can. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. This may be the one I was just quoting. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Amen. This is right where I was just talking about. It's actually there. In the start of chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus,
who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we get wisdom from God. God said, if any man act like wisdom, let him ask God, give to all men liberally. We have our righteousness from Christ. We just went over that in the justification. And we have the sanctification and redemption. Sanctification, again, is to progress in your salvation. You won't be more saved, but you should be a testimony to people. You should want to be a testimony to people. You should realize if you've been saved any length of time, people are watching you. That's the point of sanctification. It does not make you any more saved. But just like there's other people in this town, I won't call names. There are other people in this town that are supposed to represent the name of Christ that people make a mockery of and laugh at and make fun of because of the way that they represent Christ. I can't do that. I represent Christ. I'm not going to Walmart in my pajamas. I'm not going out. If I had to run out in an emergency, I may run out and my hair not be fixed if I had to run out in an absolute emergency. But by the help of grace of God, unless you can call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's an absolute emergency, I'm going to be fixed up. I mean, I'm not going to run out like that. Now, if it's absolute emergency and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, I may run out and have my hair done. But I represent Christ. But I'm not the only one. So do you. You need to ask yourself, the things that you do to your body, the way you dress, the what you put into it, I don't think we've got any problems. I hope not. Anybody's a closet drinker in here. But any of those things, am I doing what's best for the cause of Christ? This is the temple of God according to the word of God. This is the temple. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the living God, whose you are? That's what it means, sanctification. We're not all going to be on the same level. There may be people that got saved around the same time that I did that may be even further down the road than me. There may be some right behind me. But they should be, after 21 years, there should be something different in your life. If you've been saved any length of time, there should be something in your life that you could say, hey, God's worked with me on this. God's dealt with me on this. Sanctifying yourself. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, amen. Ephesians 5, verse number 27. Husbands, love your wives. See, that's one way that you can tell whether somebody's saved or not. The way that they talk about each other, the way that they treat one another. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Husbands, you treat your wife the way that Christ treats the church. You're to sanctify. You're to clean yourself up. You're to try to do better by your wife. You're to try to treat your wife better each day. I know that's hard. My wife's got the best husband she's ever had. I mean, she's so blessed. But he says, by the word of God, by the water, we're to, hey, that goes for the women too. But most of the time, if women will see it in the man, if women will see that the man will try to live right, try to pray, and be an example that he needs to be, not all the time, especially in the day and time we live in, but I feel like most of the time, most women will fall in with that. If she's a saved woman, she should fall in that every time, but sometimes it doesn't. But if a woman is truly sold out to God, truly saved and sanctified, redeemed like she should be, and her husband's trying to live right, do right, she should support him. She should help him. He did all that. Christ did also that. He loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it. That's the way you and I, men, are supposed to be for our wives. We should put our wives first. Before you go out buying that new rifle to go hunting with, I don't think none of y'all really have that issue, so I'll do that. I won't hit on the World War II memorabilia.
But before you go out buying that new rifle or that new fishing rod, you ought to ask yourself, is there something more important in my wife's life that she needs? That's what you ought to ask yourself. Are you putting your wife's needs? That's what Christ did with he did with us. He put our needs ahead of his needs. He put us ahead of him when he died on Calvary's cross. He knew that we needed redemption and sanctification, justification. Verse 27, why did he do that now? Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we ought to, that's why we ought to do it, men. We ought to be that way. That, listen, wives, you ought to ask your husband, hey, what can I do to impress you? What can I do to make you happier? How can I keep you satisfied? Is there a certain dress? Our previous pastor, his wife had a dress that she did not feel comfortable in. It was long enough, but it was just below the knee. And she did not feel real comfortable in it, but he loved it. And he loved her in it. You remember that? He loved her in it. And so she wore it for him. He wasn't asking her to do anything that was sinful, but she just felt like, because it was just below the knee, that it wasn't quite long enough. She liked to wear them pretty much all the way to her ankles. That's the way she liked to do them. But it was what he liked. And so he did it for her. Or she did it for him. Same thing. You should ask your husband, can I do something? Same thing with you men. Don't be afraid to ask. You know, this is my counseling session for you couples. This is what when I get a counseling through it, I'm like, communicate. Learn from my wife and I's mistakes. Nobody told us. Communicate. What she thinks that he knows, he has no clue, and she doesn't know that he has no clue, okay? Women think that we know, but we don't know. And if you don't tell us, I remember years ago, and there's a comedian, I won't say his name because he does do some unworldly things, but there's a comedian, some of you probably 95% of you in here would know, my kids know who he is. And but anyway, he said that he learned after years of marriage, if he's sitting in a room with his wife for 30 minutes and she doesn't say a word, he just looks at her and says, I don't know what I've done, but I'm willing to go to my room and think about it if you'll just forgive me, okay? And something along them lines. And I'm like, yeah, that's about the truth. If you sit in a room and she doesn't talk to you for 30 minutes, I don't know what I've done, but I'm willing to go to the room and think about it if you'll just help me out here. And so, we don't know, women. We're that way. Men are just that way for the most part, okay? But anyway, that's the way it is. Talk to them. That's what he says here. He says he compares the relationship of a husband and wife to that of Christ and the church. Did Christ not give us his word to help us? Same thing, men. I'm not talking about being a dictator to your wife, but communicate with her. Tell her if there's something that you want her to do, if there's some way that you want her to live and do right, if there's something that you like, if she makes your lunch, if she makes something for you for lunch, tie that you really, really like, you know, then don't be afraid to say, hey, I want this. If she's trying to make you something for lunch you don't like, just nice and say, listen, I don't really want that sandwich, okay? I tried to tell my wife, but she just don't take hints. But, sometimes I do feel like a sandwich. The unfortunate thing, it's not when the times when she wants to make the sandwich. When I want the sandwich, that's when we got that dose. And so I just learned to eat the sandwich when it is. As Miss Laura would tell to Brother Tim to eat that tender fish sandwich. Or two. Y'all got another story for that. That's another one right there. Anyway, Christ communicated with us and told us what? Same thing. I mean, I'm not talking about being a dictator, but talk with your wife. Wives, talk to your husbands. That's the point. It's not to have a roommate for the rest of your life. It's to have a companion, a lover, a friend that sticks closer than anybody else other than Christ Jesus. That's the whole point. Let me move on. All right, now 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just a few pages over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. Got to finish up real quick here and we'll, and I'll be done. First Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So it is God's will for you to sanctify yourself, to clean yourself up, to keep yourself. He said, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that relationship outside of marriage. That fornication can be used in other ways too. But mostly, most of us think of that relationship outside of marriage. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We are to sanctify ourselves. We are to abstain from fornication. That is that. That's the fleshly, that engulfs there, the fleshly desires. All these idiots out here that keep saying, well, people are born this way. There ain't none of them born this way. They burn in their lust, the Bible says, one toward another. Working men with men, women with women, working that which is unseemly. It do not fall for that garbage and say, but preacher, they love each other. And they were born this way. Either you're going to believe what God says or you're going to believe what man says. You can't have it both ways. Okay? Now, what I'm getting ready to say is not hypothetical, what is it? I'm just messing around. But I'm just messing around. This is just a joke. I want to say it before I say what I'm about to say to you. I love to have multiple wives. Does that mean that, and I feel like I was born that way. Does that make it okay for me to have multiple wives? No. You see how that can be applied to other things? I believe stealing's wrong, and I believe I was born that way. Of course, they're putting their stamp of approval on that. Yeah. You see how that works? See, they say, well, they love each other, preacher. Well, I love 40 women. Can I not have 40 wives? You see what I'm saying? Now, again, that's just, I don't say joke, but I don't know what the term.
Hypothetical
would be the word. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? This idea of saying, well, they love each other, preacher. Well, why can't I love 40 women? Why can't I? You know what I'm saying? That you can't fall for these things. And that fornication, that's what he says here, sanctify yourself from fornication. That's any of those relationships. That's any of that stuff. Keep yourself clean and pure. Keep trying to keep yourself clean. Again, you're not trying to keep yourself in salvation, but you are representing the King. You're representing the King. Go to chapter 5, verse 23. I've got to flip one page myself. 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That holy means full. That means that's not the holy like holy, holy, holy like we say. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y means fully. It means your full body. God sanctify you wholly, completely sanctify you. Okay? I want to make sure that you know that. And I pray God... pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that'll be when that we present ourselves. Go to Hebrews 10:10. Amen. Just this one and two more and we'll be done. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will... we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. So that this one includes, this is the salvation one. Do you see the difference? He says we are sanctified once for all. That's that number one that was on here. That an act of God based upon the redemption of Christ, establishing the believer in a position of holiness at the moment he trusts the Savior. That's what this one says there. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. That's it. There's nothing else that you have to offer for your sacrifice, for your sins, to clean yourself up in that sense. Verse number 11. Right, he goes through 14. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Those sacrifices did not take away their sins. They covered their sins. We are washed in the blood, clean, fully made clean. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's that sanctification at the moment you got saved. If you never did anything else for God, if you never cleaned up your life, if you never let the Holy Spirit of God work in your life, you are still sanctified. You'll still go to heaven. But as one man said in the past, why do you want to fly in coach when you can fly first class? Why fly in coach when you can fly first class? Because the ticket's already been paid. It's just a matter of you doing right. Girls, 1 John 3:2. One more after this, and y'all can get up and run around, okay? Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Don't let me forget, okay? 1 John 3:2. Beloved, is that the right one? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. Okay? This is the one referring to after we are out of here, that we'll get the glorified body. It doeth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I'm not getting in a debate. I'm not getting in an argument. I'm not going to start a fight here. I'm just informing you, this is where, listen, some men will say there's no black people in heaven. There's no white people in heaven. Because we're going to be like him. So some people believe that we're going to have the body like and fashioned after around a 33 and a half year old Jewish man. I don't know. I don't know if that's what that fully means. I don't know if it just means we're going to have a glorified body. Because when I read in the book of Revelation, I think it's in the book of Revelation, he says that they'll be there from all nations. So to me, I don't know. I'm not gonna fight over it, fuss about it, but that's where some people say that we're gonna have a body like and fashioned after a 33-year-old Jewish man. You know, in Christ there's no male or female, all those different things. I don't know if the women will become men. I don't believe that necessarily. So I don't know. Like I said, I just know that we'll be as he is. I think that means that we'll have a glorified body that will not have sin, no more diabetes, no more high blood pressure, no more needing glasses, no more ill-tempered redheads, no more boy crazy. Let me get y'all over here. No more boy crazy girls. I just believe it means we'll have a glorified body that will not be corrupted by sin. It will not be able to be corrupted by sin. All that kind of stuff. That's what I think it means. And that's what's it. This refers to the third one that will be fully sanctified. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more. And now listen, at this point, when this comes, he said, well, when he appears, we shall be like him. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now at this point, when Christ does return, he still does not wipe the tears from our eyes. Though we'll have a glorified body, I don't believe we'll be able to sin. It's not till the end, after the 1,000-year millennial reign and the great white throne of judgment, that Christ wipes the tears, God wipes the tears from our eyes at that point, okay? So again, I'm just informing you of what some people say and believe. I'm not going either way. There are some things in life that me and my wife, and some of the crazy things that we've heard, we just don't pick a side. Some people may not like that. But just like what's going on in Europe right now, I'm not picking a side. Because I don't know. I've not given enough information to adequately pick a side. Same thing with this. There's not enough. I don't believe it's necessarily saying either way, because when I read the other verses, like I said in the book of Revelation, he says there'll be people from all nations and tongues and languages. So, I don't know, man, if it's going to be that just that everybody be there, but we'll all be the same, or if we'll all be there, kind of like what we are, but just with a glorified body, and they'll be white, black, Hispanic, brown, red, green, I don't know, male, female, I don't know. again, I'm just not picking a side because I don't believe there's quite enough information there to pick one. I just believe I'm going to have a glorified body, a sanctified body that will not see sin anymore, that cannot sin anymore. And that's where I leave it at, according to doeth not yet appear what we shall be. I can't even in my mind, I don't know about y'all, I mean, I can dream, but I can't imagine. I've had lower back pain pretty much my whole life. It runs in my family. Every one of my dad's brothers, basically, I think there's six of them. I think five of them have had lower back surgery. My dad did when he was in his early 30s. I refused. That's why I went to the chiropractor. That's why I've done everything I can to try to not have back surgery. I got rear-ended by a woman in my early 30s, and it's caused me a lot of back problems. I refuse to have back surgery because my dad did, and he still has lower back problems. So I don't ever see the point. But I can't imagine what it's going to be like because even at 39 years old, man, my foot hurt right now, whatever's on my shoe. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to not have any more pains. Maybe y'all can, but my mind, I'm just thinking, man, it's hard for me to grasp that. Let me go to this last one. Go to Jude now. Jude, just a couple pages over, Jude 24, and I'll be done now. Jude verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's what sanctification means there. To be able to be presented before him. Perfect, faultless. We are justified, we are sanctified by Christ Jesus. But we should, as individuals, also progress in our earthly sanctification. You should want to do better. You should, listen, I'm not where I was. I remember one day, years ago, my wife probably may or may not remember this. But I was out there mowing the lawn one day. Bree was a baby, young baby at that time. We'd been going to Fundamental, not just a short amount of time, but it was probably the summer right after she was born. And I'm out there on the mower without a shirt on. And God just convicted me, said, you're out here naked. And some people argue, say, preacher, I don't think that's nakedness. Well, then you argue with God. Because I'm out there on the lawnmower driving one day, and I just looked around, and I felt like, and the Holy Spirit said, you're naked. And I cut that lawnmower off, and I walked in the house, and I put a shirt on. And I walked back out there and finished mowing the lawn. And it's been 15 years just about. And I've not run around outside without a shirt since then. Now you may say, well, preacher, God's never convicted me about that. He may not. I've seen people, listen, I've seen God convict different people about different things. Does that mean that God's different than his persons? No, it means that some people can't handle it at different times. Some people get mad and when you start preaching about dressing right and being covered up and stuff like that. But some people take it and they live with it. My wife, 15 years ago, I never had to say a word to her. We got in the Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle and a pastor at the time, Brother Chris Lanning, opened that Bible up and preached to us about dress standards and dressing right. And my wife began to get her skirts and dresses and throw away all her blue jeans and all that other garbage that she had. Probably about, I don't know, 6 months after she had started wearing, dressing right. See, when you start listening to the Holy Spirit, you'll do that too. It's not just because the preacher says it. That preacher's been long gone in our life, but my wife still dresses right. Well, she looked at me one day. I can tell you where we was at. We was fixing to turn down Tyler Road. We was coming up Old Salisbury fixing to turn down Tyler Road. My wife looked at me one day and she said, honey, she said, I got a question for you. She said, how come you never said anything to me about wearing skirts and dressing right? I said, I never had to. I said, as soon as the preacher said it and you got it in your heart to do right and sanctify yourself, you went and done it. I never had to say a word to her because it was in her heart. The problem with most men and women, it's not in their heart. I'm not saying they're lost. But a lot of people, Christ reigns their heart. God, Christ may be in their heart, and he may have rule over their heart, but he didn't have rule over their entire life.
See, we'll not know what you are until the day you leave our house. What standards you hold? I'll not know what's in your heart, whether it's in your heart to dress right. I got less concerned about this one on this than you, by the way. There's some things I got a whole lot less concerned about with you than her on a lot of other things, but this is one thing I got less concerned on her about. When it's in your heart, you'll go do it without arguing. Some people get mad at the preacher and say, well, hey, he's meddling and he's getting in my business. That's sanctification. When you learn to separate yourself from the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. 50 years ago, there'd be no debate on the way that women are supposed to dress. But here we are. If you preach on it, women get upset and leave and won't come back. I've not changed. God's not changed. People have changed. A lot of people, a lot of churches, here's where a lot of churches do, and I'll be done. Here's what a lot of churches do. And maybe you could say the same thing that we've done, you know, because we don't dress old-fashioned like Mennonites do. But what happens in a lot of churches, and even some of them here and some of them in this area, as the world's standards get lax, the Christian standards do too. But they stay far enough behind that they say, well, we're separated. We're different. They'll be said, they may not listen to full-on rock and roll, but now we've got a bunch of contemporary Christian music, and we'll have contemporary, we'll have Christian rock, and we'll have Christian rap. See, we're behind them, preacher. We're not the same standards. I believe that your music ought to be separated totally. I know that we listen to Southern gospel, and you could make the case, yeah, I guess that it sounds kind of like country music in some sense. But it's still enough of a separation. I don't believe in drums. I hate drums. I don't think drums have any business in a church. Because I've seen what it do to a church. My wife and I watched contemporary music come in and destroy the church that we loved. The church that we got saved in. The church I got baptized in. The church we got married in. We watched it destroy it. That's why I hold high standards. After I'm long gone, your standards may drop. But if it'll be in your heart, long after I'm gone, you'll keep living it. Just like my wife has. Long after Chris Lanning has left the ministry and gone by the wayside, it wasn't in our heart to follow him, though we loved him and it was hard on us. It was in our heart to follow God and sanctify ourselves because God's word said it. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day that you made. Thank you for sanctifying us, Lord, through thy word. Through thy truth, thy word is truth, Father. I pray that you would speak to hearts, and Lord, if there's anything tonight, God, that needs to be dealt with on this altar, may they come tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. It's all.